Welcome to the CryptoZoo. I'm your CryptoZoo keeper, Jay, and today we will be talking about the Beast of Bladenboro.
You heard about cryptids, but what do you know? Hear a little more on this here show. What are cryptids and what do they do? Learn about cryptids at the CryptoZoo.
Bladenboro is a small town in North Carolina. And when we say small, we mean small. The town's total area is 2.25 square miles, and its population is listed as about 1,650 people. Originally a farming community, Bladenboro also became known for its lumber and its turpentine production. The town has two main claims to fame. One is the unfortunate apparent 2014 lynching of a young black man named Lennon Lacey who was dating a white woman. And the other, as you might have guessed, is a cryptid known as the Beast of Bladenboro. Now, before we get too far into this, let's put a trigger warning out there. This episode is going to detail horrible deaths of animals, especially dogs. If you're sensitive to that, well, the Hodag and the Slide Rock Bolter episodes of the CryptoZoo are a little more lighthearted. Skip this one and revisit those. The Beast of Bladenboro is said to be feline, about 4.5 feet long and 2 feet tall, with a tail that measures about 14 inches. Its weight is estimated to be about 150 pounds of pure muscle, and it is usually reported to be dark in color with a face exactly like that of a cat. So basically, the Beast of Bladenboro is said to be a big cat, although some descriptions do compare it to a small bear because of its coloring and size. Its movements are described as being stealthy, sneaky, and, well, cat-like. It makes noises that sound almost like a baby crying, and some witnesses even claim to have spotted a smaller version of it running alongside the bigger. So there may be two, or even a whole family, of Beasts of Bladenboro. The history of the beast dates back to the 1950s, specifically the winter of 53 and 54. This is when a string of strange and horrific animal killings and mutilations took place in and around Bladenboro. Although it was theorized that the deaths were the work of some regular indigenous wild animal, the brutality and the seemingly ritualistic nature of the animal murders left many of the residents wondering if they were dealing with some kind of a supernatural monster. The phrase vampire cat was even tossed around before the thing was given its more official nickname of the Beast of Bladenboro. The thought of a paranormal serial killer stalking their lands left the citizens of Bladenboro terrified, not only for the safety of their pets and livestock, but also for the safety of themselves and their families. And the way that the Beast of Bladenboro claimed its victims was horrifying. The bodies of the animals killed by the beast were often found mutilated and decapitated, horribly mangled and crushed, and sometimes without a drop of blood present, hence the vampire cat part of the legend. There aren't a ton of verified sightings of the Beast of Bladenboro, a fact which only adds to its mystique. Most of the proof of the creature's existence is the remains of its prey. The first victim of the beast is widely believed to be a dog which was killed on December 29, 1953 in Clarkson, North Carolina, about 8 miles from Bladenboro. The dog's skull was crushed flat. Witnesses say that the perpetrator of this sick crime was a giant cat about 5 feet long, sleek and black, not unlike a panther. After that initial attack, the beast migrated to Bladenboro, striking again on December 31st. A resident named Johnny Vouse found the remains of his two dogs, in his own words, torn into ribbons and crushed. One was found on the porch near puddles of blood and saliva. This carcass was covered with a blanket, but disappeared a few hours later, presumably taken by the beast to finish off. The other dog was found in a hedgerow near the farm. One dog's head was torn clean off and soaked in saliva, while the other dog was missing its lower jaw. Over the next 3 days, three more dogs were reported slaughtered by Bladenboro farmers in the same brutal fashion. Trying to avoid a community panic, Police Chief Roy Forres attempted to search for the beast on the night of January 3rd, but his dogs refused to follow the trail, possibly sensing that what they were dealing with was way above their pay grade. On January 4th, Two more dogs were killed, and an autopsy was performed on one of them. The autopsy found not more than a few drops of blood inside the body, and its bottom lip had been ripped open and its jawbone was smashed back into its head. Word soon got out about the rogue killer, and that night, a group of young men and their dogs staged their own hunt, while Flores and 10 of his braver officers picked up the search where he and his dogs left off the night before. Another group from Wilmington, North Carolina, also joined in the hunt that night. This group reported some success, as they claimed to have tracked the beast for 3 miles through the swamps. The tracks they followed were made by a creature that they estimate weighed about 90 pounds, and the tracks also show that the beast had claws about an inch long. It circled around the swamp, indicating to the hunters that it may have had a mate or cubs nearby, or that it knew it was being tracked and started tracking them back. Not content to just feast on dogs, the Beast of Bladenboro struck again on January 5th when it killed and decapitated a pet rabbit. Also on January 5th, a humongous cat was seen attacking a dog, but the dog got away, for the time being. It was never seen again, leading witnesses to believe that the beast was able to catch it and finish it off. Later that day, another resident of Bladenboro named C.E. Kinlaw saw what she described as a big mountain lion near a pack of dogs down the street from her home. When it saw her, the creature charged, but her horrified screams frightened it away. After investigating, Chief Flores found tracks the size of a silver dollar outside her home, and there were two sets. The beast did appear to have a friend, sidekick, or a mate with it. So, on the night of January 5th, there were over 500 hunters with their dogs looking for the creature or creatures. See what's happening? This was Jaws on land. The next day, January 6th, a young boy named Dalton Norton saw what he said was a big cat hanging out on his porch and making crying baby noises before finally disappearing into the woods. This was getting serious. That night, the hunt included more than 800 people, and Flores came up with a plan to use dogs as bait to lure the beast into the open. Of course, this plan was squashed by the Asheville, North Carolina Humane Society as soon as it was hatched. On January 7th, another dog's body was found, along with that of a goat whose head was completely flattened. So on January 7th, about 1,000 hunters gathered. Out of concern for the public, Flores canceled the hunt that night. Again, Jaws on land. The next night, January 8th, people seemed to get Flores' message, as the only hunters that showed up were four fraternity brothers from UNC Chapel Hill. Mayor Woodrow Fussell officially called off the hunt. The armed vigilantes out for giant cat blood were too much for the town's comfort level. Things were calm for a few days. Sightings and attacks had trickled off. But then, on January 11th, two cars stopped after seeing a large cat, about 4 feet long, brown tabby in color, with runty-looking ears, cross the road. And finally, on January 13th, a farmer named Luther Davis found a bobcat stuck in one of his traps in Big Swamp, North Carolina, about 4 miles from Bladenboro. He shot the animal, and Mayor Fussell sent out a press release that the Beast of Bladenboro had been killed. Also on January 13th, a man named Bruce Soles was leaving Bladenboro when he hit a spotted cat, about 2 feet tall and weighing between 75 and 90 pounds, with his car. And on this same day, a professional hunter named Barry Lewis shot a large bobcat and also laid claim to being the killer of the Beast of Bladenboro. It's still unclear which, if any, of these cats was the actual Beast of Bladenboro, but the sightings and killings did stop, at least they did for a while. Almost a year later, on the morning of December 15th, 1954, a farmer woke up to find 5 of his pigs and 3 of his chickens dead, with crushed skulls and mutilated bodies, the legs ripped off. There was no blood present, which suggested that this was more of the work of the vampire cat. The next day, the corpse of a stray dog was found, and while some suspected that the stray was the culprit of the previous day's carnage, others believed the dog was just another victim of the returned Beast of Bladenboro. Things calmed down again for about 50 years, but in 2003, there was a rash of new sightings of a large, dark-colored cat, along with a new string of attacks and kills with the same methodology, with some of the victims being large horses. Several of these sightings were actually reported by police officers, enough so that the chief of police, Danny Russ, had joked about testing his officers for drugs. So maybe, just maybe, there was a family of beasts of Bladenboro, and the offspring is still prowling the swamps to this day. So, what the heck could the Beast of Bladenboro actually be? Most of the accounts of sightings report that the beast is feline, some kind of a big cat, although no one can agree on what type of a big cat. Some say it's a puma, others say it's a bobcat, still others say it's a cougar, and some just give it the generic title of a mountain lion. There are serious doubts as to whether the cats shot by Luther Davis or Barry Lewis were big enough to cause the kind of damage that the beast did, so the chances of either of those bobcats being the monster are slim, despite what Mayor Fussell wanted people to think at the time. This sounds more and more like Jaws as we go along, doesn't it? One theory says that the beast is an ocelot, a large wild cat that was kept as a pet by some rich or crazy folks at the time. A traveling circus even reported an ocelot escaping while in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina in 1951. Could a hungry ocelot have escaped from its home and fed on the area's other pets? Another theory suggests that the beast is a panther, and the crying baby sounds do back this up. But Harry Davis, curator of the Raleigh State Museum, points out that panthers are not native to the area, so any stray panther would have had to have been an import from somewhere else. Davis set forth his own theory, saying that what folks had been seeing was a large coyote. However, this goes against every sighting that said it was a cat. Davis is not alone in thinking that the beast was canine. Several residents, including Chief Forrest himself, claimed that the beast was a wolf, albeit a very large and strong one. And indeed, several old residents of Bladenboro do claim to remember a time when wolves ran free in the swamps. A couple of other non-feline theories posit that the beast is a rabid wolverine or possibly even a discarded wild police dog. One man named A.R. Stanton from Lumberton, North Carolina, claimed to know the truth. He said that, years before, he had gifted a German Shepherd hound dog mix named Big Boy to a young Native American boy who lived on the edge of the swamp. Stanton describes Big Boy as a large dog with a long, bushy tail who is known for leaping over 6-foot fences and killing chickens. A veterinarian named N.G. Baird echoed Stanton's sentiment, claiming that Big Boy may have escaped from the young boy and gone wild with bloodlust. And there's also the theory that the whole thing was an elaborate hoax. Mayor Fussell seemed to relish in the attention that his town was getting, and even booked the 1949 movie The Big Cat to play in a theater that he owned during the week-long crisis. For his part, Fussell did admit that he believed the whole thing was a hoax, but he was also of the opinion that any publicity was good publicity for his sleepy little burg. And then there's our favorite theory, that the Beast of Bladenboro was, in fact, an undiscovered species of large cat that had yet to be classified by science. A cryptid. Possibly because it's not a sexy or charismatic cryptid, the Beast of Bladenboro is not very well known outside of its locale. Aside from a documentary about its story and a handful of speculative YouTube videos and podcasts about its existence, it hasn't really gotten a lot of airtime. The town of Bladenboro has taken full ownership of its cryptid, though. Right from the start, in 1954, bumper stickers claiming that the town was the home of the Beast of Bladenboro were produced by a local artist/entrepreneur. And this enthusiasm exists right up to the present day. A community booster club for Bladenboro called Boost the Borough throws an annual Beast Fest around Halloween each year, celebrating the monster they have anagrammed into B.O.B. or Bob. So, like all towns with a cryptid, Bladenboro is in love with theirs. And that's about it for this episode of the Cryptozoo. If you enjoyed what you heard, please like, follow, subscribe, share, rate, review, and all that other stuff. You can find us on Facebook, so drop in there and say hi. We're also at thecryptzoo.com. That's thecrypto-zoo.com. So pop on over there. And until next time, good night, sleep tight, and don't stop believing.
We love cryptids, big and small. We love cryptids, one and all. We love cryptids, and so do you. See you next time.